Go to the book of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. We'll have it for you on the screen. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And I believe, as I said, today's message is going to be one that I believe is going to minister to all of us in some way. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. And for those of us who are here, I want to encourage you to share the stream. If you're watching online, hit that share button, because I believe that today's message is going to be one that brings forth a lot of healing. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Here's what the Bible says. Come to me, all of you who are weary. Everybody say weary. And burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart. And you will find rest. Everybody say rest. Say it like me to say rest. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want to preach from this theme and thought as we continue our series, The Answer. And I want to call today's sermon, The Answer to an Exhausted Life. The Answer to an Exhausted Life. Can you look at the person that you're standing next to? Tell them, hey, neighbor, you need some rest. Find somebody else around you. Tell them, hey, family, you need some rest. One more time, find somebody else. Tell them, hey, neighbor, you can't burn the candle at both ends. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would speak to us, that you would give us rest in this moment. For many of us who are tired, exhausted, and weary, I pray that your word would be a fresh word and wind into our souls. I pray in the name of Jesus for those who are discouraged, that in this moment your word would comfort them. I pray even for those of us who might be comfortable, Lord, would you convict us to move into the place that you've called us to be in. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Amen. You can be seated. The answer for an exhausted life, you need some rest. Family, one of the things that happened this week I noticed with my phone was I charged my phone up overnight and woke up, my battery was full. But I noticed something very particular and peculiar, and that was by noon throughout the course of this week, even in the midst of me charging up my phone, my battery by noon was extremely depleted. I don't know if you've ever had that happen before where you charge your phone up and you started off your day with a full battery, but within a few hours, your battery was drained. Now, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, my phone is starting to act crazy. Apple, sometimes they do these weird updates, you know, they start making your phone go slower because they want you to buy another phone, you know what I mean? And they stop updating software because they want you to upgrade to the Apple 17 and 18 and 19 and 2021, right? Anybody have that experience happen where it's like, oh my gosh, how many times am I going to upgrade my phone? My phone's not operating properly. My battery is draining. But then I started to discover something when I actually went in my phone. That the reason why my phone was beginning to deplete and its battery was beginning to drain was not because there was necessarily something wrong with my phone. It was because I had some new apps that were installed on my phone recently that were working in the background without me knowing it, and it was causing a severe depletion of the battery life of my phone. And that caused me to wrestle with this question, that I wonder how much of our life is exhausted and depleted because there's a lot of overworking and overstimulation in our soul and in our minds. There are things that are happening in the background features of our life that we may or may not be aware about that's contributing to the drainage of our soul. That's contributing to the drainage of our energy. Maybe also think about this very well-known meme and picture from 2019. It was a picture that was captured some years ago, about 6 years ago, during what was known as as the chicken sandwich battle. And there was this whole battle that was taking place between Popeyes and between Chick-fil-A. I think we got the picture. We bring it up on the screen. There was this whole battle that was popping, that was happening, where people were declaring Chick-fil-A's chicken sandwich is superior. No, Popeyes, because at that time, Popeyes had just introduced a brand new chicken sandwich and people were going crazy. Lines at Popeyes were wrapped around the building. They've never seen that type of activity ever. And there was this picture that was captured of a woman who worked at Popeyes during the chicken sandwich war. And we don't know how long she worked. We don't know what kind of shift she had put in. We don't know if she was pulling a double. But what we know is that during this time, this sister right here was worn out. Head slumped over, exhausted, tired, overwhelmed, putting in all, flipping up all these chicken sandwiches, trying to keep up with Chick-fil-A's. Exhausted. Now, what's interesting, family, is this was made into a meme and has been a meme, and oftentimes some of y'all even use this meme when you're trying to communicate to somebody that you exhausted. How you feeling today? And you just send them a picture of her. Now, we don't know who she is, but I pray that this woman has been blessed beyond measure, because so many people have used this picture, a moment of exhaustion, to bring some element of humor. But what's interesting, family, is while these, we look at this and we see this picture as a meme, I think it's a mirror. I think it's more of a mirror than a meme. Because this begins to, I think in many ways, capture how many of us walked in this building feeling right now. Exhausted. Now, you might not be slumped over physically right now because you're sitting upright in that chair, but if you would be honest, in your mind, you look like that. In your soul, you look like that. Even in your body, you look like that. And the only difference here is that it has not been captured for the world to see like hers was. I wonder how many of us here online and in person are wrestling with some of the same things and feeling and experiencing some of the same things that this woman is experiencing, where we are exhausted. Which brings us here to Matthew 11, because here in Matthew 11, Jesus is here and he's addressing his hearers and his disciples. And the context here is that, as you see in the earlier part of Matthew chapter 11, but specifically some of the verses that came before this, he is addressing people who are suffering from a spiritual or a soul fatigue. It is a deeper and more serious kind of exhaustion. And Matthew 11, the context was that the people were exhausted by all the demands of the religious teachers in that time, who were essentially adding to God's law. They were weary, hear me, not just from life, but they were weary from trying to earn favor and trying to earn God's righteousness. They were weary from trying to manage expectations, and they were weary because they found themselves carrying a spiritual weight, hear me, without divine help. In other words, they were trying to do things in their own strength. And I think, family, that this text actually helps us to see the weariness of the people because of oftentimes the weariness that we find ourselves in as well. That just as we see the people here in Matthew 11 in this text, those hearing the words of Jesus in real time, here's what's also true. Many of us are exhausted right now at this present time in our life. We're not just exhausted in our bodies. We're exhausted in our minds. We're exhausted in our souls. We're exhausted. And here's what I recognize, and I'm sure many of us would testify and agree to this, that no matter how many vacations you take, no matter how many days you take off, watch this, no matter sometimes how many hours of sleep you get at night, there is something deep still on the inside that is unsettled. That is something in your mind that is unsettled. There is an exhaustion that you oftentimes feel. And y'all, the culture and the time that we live in does not make this better. Because we live in a day and time where we live in a culture, hear me, that's addicted to busyness. We admire the grind. We celebrate it. We glorify the hustle. We celebrate it. We say things like, team, no sleep. Or things like, I sleep when I'm dead. We'll say things like, somebody got to do the work. And we're exhausted. But I like what the late Corrie ten Boom says. She says this, if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. One person said it like this, busyness can be broken down as an acronym, being under Satan's yoke. Because the one thing that we live in today's time is we live in a busy culture. I've even found myself having to correct myself at times when people ask me, man, how you doing? Man, I'm busy. And sometimes God will convict me on that because he'll oftentimes cause me to raise this question. Like, am I busy doing what he's called me to do? Or am I busy doing other things that he hasn't called me to do? If maybe part of the reason why I feel exhausted, is it because I'm doing the things that God's called me to do, or am I doing things that I should not necessarily be doing? And the byproduct of the culture that we live in, watch this, and the pace that we move at, many people live exhausted lives for various reasons. Many of us in here today, under the sound of my voice, you are exhausted because of the responsibilities exhausting you. You are exhausted because of the many tasks that you have to accomplish. Perfection, for some of us, is exhausting you. People pleasing is exhausting you. Drama is exhausting you. Decision making is exhausting you. All the schoolwork that you gotta finish and complete and tests that you gotta prepare for is exhausting you. The social media controversy and conversations are exhausting you. Overworking is exhausting you. Overthinking is exhausting you. Overfunctioning is exhausting you. And even no days off is exhausting you. And in the words of Jesus, here's what we are: weary and burdened. This word weary that Jesus uses here in Matthew 11, 28, it literally means this. Write this down. It means to exhaust or to get tired because of an overuse or because of stress. It means to be tired or exhausted because of overuse or because of stress. And this word burden, write this down. It means this: to feel or to place a load on. So let me help us understand what Jesus is ultimately painting a picture of. Many of us today are weary and burdened because of the loads of life that we're carrying. Many of us are weary and burdened because we're carrying things on our back right now that are too much for us. Many of us are weary and burdened because we're doing things maybe that we haven't been called to do. Many of us are weary and burdened because we're thinking about all the emails that we got to get caught up on. And we're thinking about all the things at the house that have to be done. And we're thinking about all the responsibilities that we have to get done. And we're thinking about all the requirements that are expected of us. We're thinking about all the things on our job that we got to get done. And we're thinking about all the things that people are expecting of us. We're thinking about things that we got to do for our spouse and things we have to do for our kids and things that we got to do for ourselves and things that we got to do for our job and our boss and our employer and our students and our families and our teachers, and we are exhausted. Come on, just by show of hands, how many of y'all have ever been there today where you can say, Pastor, I've been in a place of exhaustion where I'm tired. And the exhaustion that you deal with is not always a physical one. It's often an emotional one and a spiritual one and a mental one. Can I help us understand something in here? All of us, no matter who you are, no matter how much scripture you know, no matter how saved you are, no matter how many services you come to, all of us will find ourselves weary and burdened and tired and exhausted at some times. I'm here to let you know, it doesn't matter how long you've been following Jesus, all of us will feel the weight of exhaustion at times. But the good news about this text is that in the midst of us being exhausted and worn out and weary and tired, where it can feel as if there's no escaping what you feel, because some of us are here today and you're like, Pastor, how can I not feel exhausted anymore? And how can I stop from feeling tired all the time? Every time I wake up, I feel tired, not just in my body, but in my mind and in my soul. Pastor, how can I overcome this spiritual and soul fatigue that I feel myself dealing with? This text gives us hope, and it's found in Jesus's words in verse 28. Notice what he says: come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. I thought at 9 a.m. y'all would get excited about Jesus's words here. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. The reason why we should get excited about this is because it means this. For Jesus to say these words, it means that he is aware of our exhaustion. He is aware of our spiritual fatigue. He is aware of our emotional fatigue. He is aware of our mental fatigue. But here's also why this is good news, and I want you to write this down. It's because of this. Jesus doesn't just observe our exhaustion. He invites us out of our exhaustion. Church don't know when to say amen. Maybe you like to stay tired, and maybe you would like to continue to be weary, but I'm here to let you know, I don't want to live a life of exhaustion. I don't want to live a life of being tired. So when Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary, that speaks to my soul, because it lets me know that no matter the state of mind that I'm in right now, no matter the feelings that I feel right now, no matter the exhaustion in my soul and in my mind, Jesus is saying, you do not have to stay there. You do not have to live there. You do not have to set up shop there. You do not have to end your life in the place of exhaustion. No, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And it's good news, family, because he doesn't shame the tired. He doesn't shame the weary. He doesn't say, you should, it's a sin that you're tired. He doesn't sit up here and condemn the overwhelmed. He doesn't say, suck it up. That's a part of life. No, he says, come to me. He doesn't give condemnation for those who are weary and burdened. He gives an invitation to something better. And I just feel led to encourage some of you who are here today online and in person, and you find yourself in a place of being tired and being burdened and being stressed and being anxious and being restless. Can I give you the words of Jesus? He says, come to me. Come to Jesus. Meaning this, you don't have to go to a bar. You don't have to go to a blunt. You don't have to go to a bottle. You don't have to go to social media. You don't have to go to Netflix. Jesus is saying, come to me. Come to me if you're stressed. Come to me if you're anxious. Come to me if you're tired. Come to me if you're exhausted. And I think we should praise God about the fact that we got a Savior who does not push us away when we're tired, but he invites us to come to him to experience rest. The reason he says come to me is because of this. He has a word for the weary. And some of us, and I can see it on some of our faces, you're weary right now. But can I let you know, God has a word for the weary. Thank God that he doesn't just have a word for the strong, but he has a word for the weary. He has a word for those who feel like they're at wit's end. He has a word for those who say, I've done everything I can. I'm tired. I feel like I can't go another step. He has a word for those who are ready to give up. He has a word for those who are ready to throw in the towel. Matter of fact, he says it like this in the book of Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Don't get weary in well-doing, because if you don't give up, you will reap a harvest at the proper time. Can I let you know that there's a harvest with your name on it? There is something great that God wants to do in your life. I know you're tired and I know you're weary, but can I give you hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ? If you don't get weary in well-doing, if you don't give up, if you come to Jesus, you will experience the blessing and the gift and the favor that he wants to release into your life. So Jesus says, come to me. And I love this, family, because he has a word for every person, every age, every color, no matter who you are and what you're walking through. There is a word that Jesus has for all of us who are burdened by life and overwhelmed and restless in our souls, in our minds, and that word is this, rest. Everybody say rest. That's the word that he has for you. He wants you to experience rest. Here's what this word rest means in this passage here, specifically in the original language, the Greek New Testament. It means this, to revive, to give relief. Here's what Jesus said, come to me because I want to give you relief. I want to revive. Have you ever gone on vacation thinking that would revive you and you went and came back and recognized it did nothing at all? You had fun, but you still felt exhausted. You took a day off, but you felt more tired after the day off. Because you know what most of us oftentimes do with a day off? We fill it up with more stuff to do. And we're exhausted. And this word Jesus says here to his listeners who find themselves exhausted, drained, and restless, he's inviting us to experience rest. So I want you to see what his words here help us to see some principles. Number one is this. When Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Here's what this number one helps us to see. That he is, write this down, the provider of rest. He is the provider of rest. We celebrate him as Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. He provides and meets all of our needs. He can heal our bodies. He can make ways out of no ways. He can provide us with income. He can provide us with food. But sometimes we forget that he's also the provider of rest.
that the greatest thing that some of us need is not another paycheck. You need rest for your soul. That the greatest thing that some of us need is not something tangible. It's something intangible. That the answer to some of our problems is not a new relationship. It's not a new car. It's not a new house. It's not a new job. It's not a new boss. Well, maybe a new boss. But it's... But the answer to many of our issues is we need the rest that only Jesus can provide. So he says, come to me. Notice here, he doesn't direct the people to a place. He doesn't direct them to a hobby. But instead, he says, come to me and I will give you rest. He's helping us to see that for us to receive the rest that we need for our mind and our soul, we must turn to him to find it. Here's the lesson that he's wanting us to see. True rest, true relief is found only in Jesus. The rest that you truly need is not found in another vacation. It's not found in a Jet 2 holiday. It's found only in Jesus. You can't get this rest from another vacation. You can't get this rest from a hobby. You can't get this rest from a substance. You can't get this rest from a high. You can't get this rest from binge watching. You cannot get this rest from social media. The only rest that you truly need can be found only in Jesus. And the reason why this is important for us to understand is because oftentimes when we're exhausted, the temptation is to do the very thing that the enemy wants us to do, which is this: don't turn to God. Come on. That oftentimes when we feel exhausted, and I'm gonna tell you this is how you know it's the enemy, because one of the first signs of that and one of the first things that we do is we cut out God. So I need some rest, so I'm not gonna go to church on Sunday. Can I say this respectfully? That's demonic. I'm not saying you're demonic. I'm saying that's a demonic thought of the enemy. Because for me to not come to the very place that's designed to refill my soul, we know that that's not God. That's the enemy. Come on. For me to not want to be in the Word, that's not God. The Word is the Word of life. And one word from God can change my whole life. And the one thing that the enemy wants us to do is when you're exhausted, his temptation is that you will turn to everything else but God. So he's okay with you going to Netflix. He's okay with you going to social media and wasting hours doing this and this and this and this. He's okay with that. He's okay with you going to work and putting in more work some of us might not like this, all behind the auspice of, man, I need more money. Instead of going to the one who's the provider of it. When we're exhausted, the temptation is to go to all these other places and we stop doing the things that contribute to our connection with Christ. Can I encourage us that when you feel exhausted, that's not the time to check out on God. That is the time to tap back in. That is the time to pursue his presence. That is the time to lean into him through prayer and through fasting and to be in church and to be in a connect group and to be around God's people. That's the time. Write this down. We can't avoid the provider of rest and expect to still find rest. I can't expect to experience rest when I avoid the one who provides rest. And the greatest thing that you and I can do when we are in need of rest is to turn to the Lord. Here's what Exodus 33:14 says. And God, he replied, my presence will go with you. Watch this. And I will give you rest. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. The context to this was Moses and God were having this conversation and God was saying to Moses, I want you to go take my people and I want you to go lead my people. And Moses said, Lord, if you don't go with us, we will not go. And God responds to him and says, my presence will go with you. Watch this. And I will give you rest. Can I let you know that in the presence of God, you begin to experience rest. When you and I draw close to God, we experience the rest that he wants to give us. Here's what Psalm 62 verse 1 says. I am at rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. Can I let you know? Rest comes truly from God. True rest comes from God. Here's the distinction between sleep and rest. We go to bed for sleep, but we go to God for rest. Did you hear what I just said? We go to bed for sleep, but we go to God for rest. Because you can go to sleep and still wake up and not be rested. Come on. You can get 8 hours of sleep, but there's still worry contaminating your soul and anxiety that's still filling your soul and stress is still filling your mind because you're not at rest. But I'm here to let you know that when you need rest, God is saying there's an invitation that still stands. The door is open. When you need rest, call on my name. When you need rest, don't go away from me, but draw close to me, because if you draw close to me, I'll draw close to you.
Rest is found in him. Here's what St. Augustine says. He says this: you have made us for yourself. We got it on the screen. And our heart is restless until it rests in you. You have made us for yourself. And our heart is restless until it rests in you. Meaning this, my heart and my soul will be restless until I come to the one of the creator of my soul. My soul will be restless until I come to the one who created my soul. And do you know the good thing about Jesus? Jesus is eternal. He has no beginning and he has no end, which is why the Bible says he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, which means this, family. If he has no beginning and no end, that means he also does not have a beginning or end when it comes to rest. Here's what I'm trying to say. He has an endless supply of it. Which means this: it don't matter what season of life you're in, it doesn't matter how much rest you need, I'm here to let you know that Jesus is so powerful, that Jesus is so amazing, that he has enough rest for you no matter the season of life that you find yourself in. No matter if you're a young person, he's got a rest for you. No matter if you're married, he's got a rest for you. No matter if you're single, he's got a rest for you. No matter if you're retired, he's got a rest for you. And the good news about Jesus is that he never runs out of his rest that he wants to provide you. I'm here to let you know that no matter how much rest you need, he is more than able to provide it. He is more than able to sustain you. He is more than able to give it to you. Tell the person beside you, you need some rest. You need some rest. But here's the second thing that Jesus helps us to see. Not only is he the provider of rest, but what we also see in the text is this: he gives us the pattern of rest. Everybody say pattern. So verse 29, notice what the Bible says. He says this: take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will, everybody say will, find rest for your souls. I want you to look at the words he says here. Take up my yoke and learn from me. Learn from me. Learn. When we think about learn, we sometimes will think about classroom and principles and teachings and guidelines. Here's what Jesus is trying to help us to understand, that when it comes to rest, there is culture's way, but then there's his way. He says, learn from me. Learn from me. Why is this important to understand? Because in John 14, 6, here's what Jesus says. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. Keyword, the way. There's a principle there. The principle is that he's not just the way to eternal life, but he's also the way to everyday life. So now even when it comes to rest, I need to follow his way. And rest is found by starting with Jesus and following his way, which means this: we have to learn from him how rest looks and what it looks like. He says, my way, he says, I'm lowly, meaning this, he's gentle. And he says, I'm humble in heart. That word gentle, it could also mean meekness. In other words, here's what Jesus is trying to help us understand. His way is better. Your way, my way, exhausts us. Culture's way will exhaust us. The world's way will deplete us. But his way is better. His way is greater. And for many of us, here's what I know. Many of us in here, we know we need to rest, but the question is, how do we rest? Many of us are like, Pastor, I know I need to rest, but I really don't know how. It really is team no sleep in my house. I don't know how to take a break. I don't know how to have a vacation. I don't know how to get away. I don't know how to access this rest that God is ultimately talking about. And here's one of the things that I need us to understand, that in order for us to learn how to rest Jesus' way, it means first that we have to unlearn culture's way.
That in order to learn his way, we have to unlearn some routines that we've adopted. We have to unlearn some rhythms that have not helped us, but instead we need to learn the way of Jesus when it comes to rest. Author John Mark Comer, he wrote this phenomenal book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. I would encourage every single person in here to go on Amazon today and order that. Because he helps us to see this rhythm of Jesus that he was in and how Jesus lived his life. But one of the things that John Mark Comer says, he says this, if you want to experience the life of Jesus, you have to adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. If you want to experience the life of Jesus, you have to adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. So the question is this, how do we rest Jesus's way? And one thing that we got to start with is understanding that God's desire for us when it comes to things is oftentimes to go back to the first mention of it. There's this theological term called the law of first mentions, meaning this, that the first time we see it in scripture is oftentimes a principle or a parameter for how you will see it throughout the rest of scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. And the first time that we see the word rest mentioned in scripture was back in Genesis. And so in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, here's what the Bible said. God saw all that he made and it was very good indeed. Evening came and then morning, the sixth day. Verse 1 of chapter 2 says this, so the heavens and the earth and everything in them were completed. And verse 2 says this, on the seventh day, God had completed his work that he had done and he rested, everybody say rested, on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. And the Bible says, and God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, for on it he rested from all his work of creation. So here's the principle. God created everything in 6 days and he ceased and he stopped and he rested on the seventh day. He rested. Why? Because not because he was tired. He's inexhaustible. He rested not because he was exhausted. He rested because he was done. And I can hear what some of us are saying maybe here now. Pastor, the reason why I can't rest yet is because I'm not done. But that's where faith comes in. Because I have to trust God to complete things in a way that I, in my own strength, am not. I'm not God. I need a break. We need a break. We need to be rested. And when we fail to rest in him, what it shows, hear me, and I say this respectfully, what it shows in a moment is that I'm trusting in myself more than I'm trusting in God. Come on. And what the scripture shows us is this rhythm that God had, that he set for all of creation. And you see this now all throughout the Old Testament where God was actually commanding people to rest. And now by the time you get to the New Testament, you constantly see Jesus in this rhythm of resting and withdrawing. And one of the things that we see in scripture is that Jesus was rarely in a hurry. You never see Jesus in a hurry. One person says this, that the ministry of Jesus moved at approximately about 2 miles per hour because he walked everywhere. The only time you even see Jesus using some type of expedited travel was when he was on a donkey coming into Jerusalem. But even that donkey was more than likely moving slow. Jesus was never in a hurry. But yet Jesus had the fullest schedule in all of humanity for all history. Jesus carried more weight than any of us all combined, and yet he was never in a hurry. He modeled what rest looked like. Here's what Mark 1:35 says. It says this, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he got up, he went out, and he made his way to a deserted place, and there he was praying. He had a regular rhythm where he would commune with God the Father and talk to God the Father. He was constantly in this rhythm of rest. Here's what I want you to see with Jesus. He was not always working. Come on. This one's going to get tight. He was not pulling 7-day work weeks like this. He had rhythms of rest. He knew how to commune with God the Father. Here's what Mark 4:35 says. On that day when evening had come, he told them, let's cross over to the other side of the sea. Remember, we read this passage a few weeks ago. So they left the crowd and took him along since he was in the boat, and the other boats were with him. Verse 37, a great windstorm arose and the waves were breaking over the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. Verse 38 says this, he was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. Jesus was knocked out, sleeping, resting. Why can he rest in the middle of a storm? Because he knows the one who controls the storm, him. How can you find rest in the middle of a turbulent season of your life? When you rest in the one who has control over all things. How can you find peace in the midst of a time where everybody else is panicking? When you're not trusting in yourself, but when you say, I will trust in the Lord, the sustainer of my life, the provider of my life, the protector of my life. Jesus shows us this value of resting and withdrawing. And can I also let us know what Jesus shows us? That one of the most spiritual things that you and I could do is this. Go to sleep. Take a nap. Get you a power nap. Pastor, I don't have no time to sleep. That typically speaks to a life that is out of balance, because that's not God's desire for your life. In Mark 6:31, Jesus says to his tired disciples, he says this to them, come away by yourselves in a remote place, and he says this to them, and rest for a while. The Bible says this, for many people were coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So here was what was happening in that passage of scripture. The disciples were working so much that they did not even have time to tend to their most basic fundamental human needs, which was rest and food. And when you and I are moving at a pace of culture, not kingdom, what happens is now we begin to die on the altar of culture because we are depriving ourselves of the very things that God wants us to have. God's desire is that you and I would be in a rhythm of rest. Can I ask you this question for you to consider and reflect on? Are you and I moving at an unhealthy pace, so much to the point where our basic needs aren't even getting met? Where we don't get the rest and sleep that we need? Where we're not eating the way that we should? Where we're not taking care of the body that we should. I want you to write this down because this is a word for some of us. We must learn to come apart before we come apart. We must learn to come apart before we come apart. Pastor, what do you mean by that? You and I must learn the rhythm of withdrawing and leaning into the Lord and his principles and his patterns before our lives end up falling apart. Before we end up in a hospital bed hooked up to an EKG machine. Because we're overworking ourselves. And when the doctors do scans, they say, there's nothing wrong with you other than the fact that you just stressed. You work too much. I get it, we gotta be on our grind. I get it, we got bills to pay, I get it. But are we trusting more in ourselves than we are in God? Because God's will is not that we be sitting up in positions where we are compromised like this. He desires to give us rest. And what I've learned, family, is much of the reason why we're exhausted in life is because we don't have God's rhythm of life, a rhythm of rest. So we work all the time. We're constantly moving. We're always in motion, which has led to us being overworked and overwhelmed and overextended. And here's what I want you to understand about burnout, because burnout, we sometimes will think, happens because we're doing too much. No, burnout happens not when you're doing too much of the right thing. It happens when you're doing too much of the wrong thing. Burnout happens when we're doing things that we really should not be doing. Burnout happens when I'm not just doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm doing what they're supposed to be doing, and I'm doing what they're supposed to be doing, and I'm doing what he's supposed to be doing, and I'm doing what she's supposed to be doing. I'm carrying burdens that I was never, in fact, meant to carry, and it's exhausting. But resting in the Lord means this: I'm trusting in the Lord. So we follow the Lord's way of resting, ceasing, and withdrawing. And can I help you understand something? God's intent was not that you and I would work 7 days a week. I know that pushes back against culture, but that's not kingdom. Just because it's popular don't mean it's right. God's desire is that you and I would have this rhythm of worship and this rhythm of resting in him. Let me give us some practicals, meaning this: you and I need to regularly rest spiritually. What does that look like? You and I do need to have what scripture might call a day of Sabbath, a day of rest. And how you Sabbath might look different than how the other person next to you might Sabbath. But you and I need to have a rhythm where we are resting. Let the church say amen. Come on, I know I won't get a whole lot of help right here. Because the way of culture says you got to be on your grind all the time. You got to have your phone on all the time. You got to be accessible all the time. The only one who needs to be accessible all the time, his name is Jesus. And you are not Jesus. You can turn off your phone. You can turn off your email. You can turn off social media. You and I need to learn how to unplug. and withdraw.
You and I need to be able to have a rhythm where we spend time with God, consistent basis each day. We need to be in church. We need to be in connect groups. Why? Because having a Sabbath day, hear me, is a gift to enjoy. It's not a burden to carry. It's a gift. That's why Jesus talks about the Sabbath when he's talking to some of the Pharisees. He's talking to the Pharisees because he's like, man, y'all have made this whole Sabbath principle. Y'all have made this a burden for the people. He corrects them and he says, man, listen, man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. He's helping us see, I created within the fabric of creation a rhythm and a routine, and y'all have perverted this so much to the point where y'all are adding a burden to all these people, which is why he says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Y'all been following the Pharisees' way. Come follow my way. His way is better. It also means this. We need to rarely rest physically. Can I help someone? Listen, I say this as your pastor lovingly. You can't survive off 4 hours of sleep a night. You can't. It ain't sustainable. I knew a lady years ago who passed away, no underlying health conditions at all. And she died, what many would say, before her time. Somebody in our home church. She was extremely young, had adult children. And I was talking to her son, and he was telling me exactly what was the cause. We were talking about it. He was like, man, he said, Edwin, you know what the cause of her passing was? I said, what, man? He said, it wasn't any type of major health underlying issues. It wasn't like high blood pressure. It wasn't like hypertension. It wasn't cancer. He said, the doctor said that she died because she did not get enough sleep. Her body was sleep deprived because she worked all the time. She did not stop. Incredible woman, woman of God. But she passed, some would say, before her time because she was tired. Because the body was not meant to go at full speed every day, all day. Come on. So I have to learn how to rest physically, which means I got to have some good sleep patterns. Meaning this, we got to give our bodies a break before they break down. Which also means this is why it's important for me to go work out. Because I'm actually helping my body to reset itself when that happens. By consuming the right types of, did you know that certain foods can actually make your body tired? Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all eat real good and you get sleepy right after. Come on, some of y'all call it the itis. What I'm trying to help us to see, like there's a rhythm of culture that leaves us exhausted, but the rhythm of the kingdom leaves us rested. It also means this, your soul needs a break. And when I talk about that specifically, I'm talking about emotions. That some of the best practices emotionally that I can do, that some of us can do, is to put boundaries around things like this, very practical, our social media intake. Because if I constantly am doom scrolling all the time, what's the government gonna do this week? And what's gonna happen tomorrow? And what's gonna happen this week? And what does this person have to say about this? And what does this person have to say about this? You know what it's doing? It's beginning to actually corrode your emotions. It's beginning to form your way of thought. It's beginning to form your way of perspective. And it actually begins to add burdens, y'all. We've experienced a whole government shutdown. I know people who've been experiencing the pain of that and the effects of that, y'all. If this is not an indicator, man, I need to turn to God and I need to trust in God because I can't put my hope in anything else around me. I need to trust my God, the one who is the source of my strength, the one who is my provider. I need to lean on him. And so in this season, y'all, I believe that God is inviting us to have a rhythm of rest where we trust in him. And he doesn't just offer rest. He teaches us how to walk in rest. Can I let you know that the way of Jesus is oftentimes slower? It's also simpler. And it's also spirit-led. And here's a word that some of us need to adopt, and I promise you, it will set many of us free. You want to know what it is? No. Did you know that no was a complete sentence? No. Hey, can you do this? No. I'm not saying you be a jerk about it. Can you do this? No. Be gracious. I would love to. No, I can't. No. No. Now, some of us, because we have a hard time people-pleasing, you might need to be a little firm. I can't, no, and leave it at that. Don't even have no more conversation because you know you'll talk yourself out of it. No. Come on, somebody say no. 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 Putting up those boundaries. Here's a third point that I want to give us to get ready to close with this. Jesus' words teach us not just the provider of rest, that he's the provider of rest, and he gives us this pattern of rest. But now in his words here in Matthew 11, he shows us the power of rest. So verse 30 says this. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Verse 29, take up my yoke and learn from me because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Let's bring those lights back up. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. It's easy. And my burden is light. Now, some of us who are not familiar with this agricultural context that Jesus and his disciples lived in, a yoke was a device that was connected to two different types of animals or two animals of some kind, and it was used for plowing in a field. And a yoke would connect both of these animals. And oftentimes what would happen is most good farmers would yoke a stronger animal or a larger animal with a weaker animal to build the strength in the younger animal or the weaker animal. But in the process of that doing it, do you know what animal was carrying the most weight? The stronger one, the larger one. So when Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, what he's saying is you don't have to carry this weight by yourself. When you get yoked up with me, and when you are connected to me, when you trust in me, you'll begin to find that there's rest in him. Why? Because you're not carrying the bulk and the brunt of the weight of your life. No, you're hooked up and you're connected and you're yoked up with somebody who has more than enough strength to carry the burdens of your life that you are walking through. You don't have to carry it by yourself. There is power in resting in Jesus. Why, Pastor? Because rest is recognizing that God is able to do for me what I can't do for myself. And when we learn to rest God's way, we experience his blessing. This is why the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, that God, he blessed the seventh day and he declared it holy. But then when you jump down to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 10, the Bible says this, therefore, a Sabbath rest remains for God's people. For the person who has entered his rest has rested from his own works just as God did from his. I want you to understand something. When you and I come to Jesus, we enter what the writer of Hebrews 4 says. We enter into a Sabbath rest. We enter into an eternal rest, meaning this, that the work of salvation has already been accomplished. The work of righteousness has already been paid for. And all Jesus is saying is if you would trust in me, you'll get the blessings of that. If you would trust in me, you'll experience the benefits of that. There is rest that is found in Jesus. Why? Because, write this down, rest doesn't come from doing nothing. It comes from walking with the one who carries everything. Some of us think that rest is lazy. No, rest is powerful. Resting in him means I'm trusting in God more than I'm trusting in myself. It means I'm leaning on Jesus. I want to close with this. When I thought about this example of resting, one of the things that came to mind, Anthony, come on up here right quick. There's this whole thing called the trust fall. Some of us are familiar with that. It's been a little trend over the past few years. And the whole aspect of it is where you'll see people, they'll literally lean back and trust that the person that's sitting behind them will catch them. But if you've seen social media and videos, there's been many people who have tried to be really petty. And when the person is falling back, they step to the side. Person falls flat on their face. I think that's actually a lesson too, that there might be some people who say that you can trust them, but when it comes down to the wire, you can't lean on them. And it also helps us understand not everybody can hold you up. But Jesus says, hey, when you feel overwhelmed, I want you to trust in me. I want you to lean on me. And so I have to trust that my brother Jesus can hold me up when I feel exhausted. And I know for some of us that's hard because we don't trust easily. We rather trust in ourselves. But you get to a point in time where you is not enough. You need Jesus. You're tired. So Jesus said, hey, when you feel tired and when you feel overwhelmed, I want you to trust. Rest. When you feel overworked, when you feel anxious, I want you to trust. Trust that I got you. And just lean. Trust. Trust. Some of us like, that's hard, Pastor. Because I've trusted before and I've been let down. But Jesus says, I'm not other people. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Trust. So can I encourage you, when you feel overwhelmed and when you feel overworked, I want you to trust. And if you got to lean there, and you got to stay there. Come on. He's a strong tower. Yeah. He's got all the power. Yeah. No matter how long you got to stay there, stay there. Come on. Other people might be struggling. Other people's arms might be given out. Yeah. But can I let you know that the power of Jesus Christ will never run out? That the power of Jesus Christ will never end? I'm here to let you know that if you lean on the power of Jesus, no matter how overwhelmed you feel, no matter how stressed you feel, if you will lean on Jesus, you will experience eternal rest. And I want to know, is there anybody here today that says, I'm not leaning on my own strength anymore. I'm leaning on the power of Jesus. I'm leaning on the presence of Jesus. I'm leaning on the promise of Jesus. It says, lean, lean. There's a song back in the day that said, lean on me. I think it's prophetic more so for Jesus. Lean on me. So this is why the Bible says, trust in the Lord and lean not onto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Leaning on your own strength and understanding will leave you exhausted, but if you would lean on the strength and the power of Jesus, watch how he restores your soul. Watch how he gives you more joy. Watch how he gives you more hope. Watch how he gives you more peace. Watch how he gives you more fulfillment. I want to invite us all to stand to our feet today. We're resting in Jesus. We're resting. We're leaning. May this visual be a visual, not of you leaning on people. And to some extent, we should. God has placed godly people around us that we should be connected to. But when we need rest, we lean on the one who's the provider of it. And can I let you know, family, the reason why he can say this, the reason why he can handle your burden is because he carried a greater burden on his back for you and me called your sin. He carried a cross to a hill called Calvary. After being beaten, after being humiliated, he went to the cross and he carried your shame. He carried your sin. And he said, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. I'm here to let you know, if Jesus is strong enough to carry your sin, he is strong enough to carry your stress. He is strong enough to carry your weariness. He is strong enough to carry. Because of Jesus, hear me. I need us to get this in our heart. Because of Jesus, we have access not just to just eternal rest. We have access to an everyday rest. Every day you can rest in him. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here in this moment, you're saying, Pastor, I need Jesus. I've been trusting in myself, but today I want to trust in him. I've been leaning on myself, but today I want to lean on him. On a count of three, I want you to slip up your hand. If you're today, you want to say yes to Christ. You want to surrender your life to Christ. The greatest decision you will ever make is to give your life to Jesus. He came that you might have life. He came, went to a cross, died for your sins, past, present, and future, rose back to life on the third day so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's why he came. That you might have rest eternally and rest also in every day. But it starts with you coming to Jesus. And I hear God knocking on the hearts of some of you today who have never come to Jesus. So if you're here today on the sound of my voice, on the count of three, you want to come to Jesus today. You want to give him your life. On the count of three, would you shoot up your hand? One, today is a day of new beginning. Two, any person in Christ is a new creature. One, two, three, wherever you are, you want to give your life to Jesus today. You want to come to Jesus today. Amen. I see your hands. Praise God. Amen. Come on, wherever you are, slip up your hand. You want to come to Jesus today. You need to come to him. For some of you, you have a relationship with him, but you've drifted from him. Today he's saying, I want you to come back to me. Come on, if that's you, lift up your hand. Slip up your hand wherever you are. For every hand lifted in this place, I want you to say this prayer of faith after me. I'll give you the words. Just mean it in your heart. Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. I receive your love. I receive your grace. Would you be my Lord? And would you be my Savior? In your name, Jesus, I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, can we celebrate the hands that went up today? Those who said yes to Jesus today. Amen. I saw some hands go up. We praise God for that.